That's right. It is Coast to Coast AM, and it's 2012. This is the year of change. And that doesn't mean things and places, but that all could be changing your mind. And we're talking about a different way to look at the kind of phenomenon that we have written off as ghosts, poltergeists, as Loch Ness monsters, and maybe even religious texts. That's right. We're talking to Thomas P. Fusco. His book is called Behind the Cosmic Veil. And he's giving us a pretty interesting idea that he says is provable that could explain a lot of different phenomena. His website is cosmicveil.com, and it's linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. We're back on Coast to Coast AM. And Thomas, right before the break, I think you were going to give us a parable about a biblical story that you feel can be explained with this theory of these bubbles in time-space opening up and really creating a conduit for all kinds of manifestations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the same loaves and fishes.
Yes.
And essentially what my model says how this could be is that there's a body of information that represents those loaves and fishes, that all they would need to do is be materialized in thousands of different places at the exact same coordinate in time. So what you actually have is a descriptive model of bilocation. The interesting thing about this model is that it doesn't violate the conservation laws that say matter and energy can neither be created nor destroyed, because the 5,000 loaves and fishes are the exact same loaves and fishes. Nothing new is being created. So it doesn't violate the laws of conservation.
Hmm. Now, you say this theory is provable. How would that be in simple terms?
Well, there's a lot of different predictions that it makes about reality on the whole. But if we go back to that window of paranormal phenomena, we would find a number of things that this would predict. If this is actually due to this bending of space and materializing of information. Number one, we would detect a barometric pressure difference between the one surface and the other surface of the bubble. Second thing that we would detect a distortion in gravity. We would actually detect a gravitational field on three axes, not just a displacement of the single-dimensional gravitational field that's pointing down to the center of the Earth. Since space and time is linked, if we bend space, we're also going to bend time. So we're going to be able to detect time distortions, time compression, and time dilation. Another thing that it would predict is that since EVPs are an electromagnetic function, it would predict, number one, that EVPs could be recorded inside of a vacuum. Number two, it would predict that EVPs could be recorded on a recorder with the diaphragm of the microphone having been physically removed. Another thing that it would predict is that we would be able to coordinate all these particular phenomena at the exact same moment. There's a gentleman who's done a lot of experimentation on this, David Roundtree. He was a host or a guest at Coast to Coast back in November. It was exciting to discover that he has already experimentally validated all of these things that I've talked about. This is absolutely unprecedented. This goes beyond any philosophical or metaphysical or ecclesiastical theory. This is actually become a scientific roadmap by which we can actually prove scientifically the function of paranormal events.
Well, people who have been following the paranormal field as long as I have and been listening, they'll remember that the trend is that these different things happen in the same place, like the Skinwalker Ranch many years ago that was bought. They bought this because they saw this UFO activity, and they were surprised when they put up all these cameras to discover that there were ghosts and poltergeists and orbs and all kinds of things. And if you talk to experiencers who lived in haunted houses, they too will tell you oftentimes that they saw UFOs and other things, and now UFOs are linked with Bigfoot. So that seems to go in the direction that a phenomenon of any sort can manifest. And if there is something happening in a particular place, then anything can happen.
Well, certainly there has to be a reason why certain places are haunted and certain places aren't.
Okay.
We know, based on this model, everything is like an Einsteinian continuum. One part of reality flows into the next part, into the next part. And this superphysical information is the same way. And so the information about that location and the information about entities or souls, let's say, that had lived in it previously are still entangled. These sites are often, very often, associated with strong emotional trauma. And we've already talked about the idea that the human brain has the ability to directly affect the materialization of physical reality. My theory is that these instances of strong emotion actually weaken the fabric of space-time in those areas. It actually damages them. So it's like a fatigued piece of metal that becomes weakened and could be more easily manipulated. And that, coupled with the information, the coherent intelligences that are connected in the continuum of information with that place, creates what we would call a haunted house.
It's creating like a weak point or a more porous point in the time-space fabric of that particular location.
It's exactly like an old inner tube to a tire that gets a weak spot. You fill it with air and you get a bubble.
And if you're some sort of extra-dimensional entity and you want to cross into this realm, you'd go for the place that's easier to cross over.
Absolutely. That's the way paranormal phenomenon naturally occurs. And I say that, again, if UFOs are intelligently contrived spacecraft, that they have figured out a way to do this intentionally, artificially.
Yeah. Let me jump into the phone calls. First time caller line, Colorado Springs. Rhonda, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
Let's see. In the summer of 9/11, we don't know exactly when, I was just sitting and my clock died, so I went to change the batteries, put the batteries in, and time started going backwards, and the clock has been going backwards since then.
What do you make of that, Thomas?
Well, that's very interesting. If there is a direct effect to a bubble of space-time surrounding that particular clock, it could cause it to run backward. But to be all, you know, in all truthfulness, it's very difficult to qualify this unless we actually had the clock to inspect.
Yeah. Has anything else strange happened, Rhonda?
No, everything just felt very odd. And there's been another event in the exact same area. I was driving, this was just a couple of years ago, driving through there, and I just felt like I was in the wrong place.
Okay.
Literally. Things didn't look right. Things didn't look right. And then, maybe that's one of the hot spots he's speaking of.
Yeah, no, it could very well be. You know, Thomas, this is something that really starts to fuel the imagination here, because we do know that there are areas in the world like the Bermuda Triangle that have had countless things happen and things of a different variety. You know, we know places are hot spots. And is it also true that intelligence from outside a dimension could just choose anywhere to pop in? In other words, if they had a craft, could they use these little bubbles to get their craft here, zip around and zip out, so that these things can happen literally anywhere as well?
Well, that's the whole idea, Rob, with this model. We know from the physical side of our universe that when a mass is accelerated towards the speed of light, it starts approaching what we call infinity. We know that space and time, as we approach the speed of light, begin to collapse in on themselves. If we were to cross over that barrier, space and time would collapse into what we would call a singularity, so that, let's say, a distant solar system on another arm of our galaxy superphysically would be no more further from us than, let's say, the town next door. And if they could collapse the space-time bubble around their craft and have a coordinate that they could drop it back into where we are, their craft and they themselves would rematerialize with all their information intact, and they could literally jump across great spanses of space without needing things like wormholes or supercomputers to disassemble and reassemble matter. It's an actual natural part of the universe that they've learned to exploit.
Yeah, and this is what we know about the nature of gravity. Whenever there's an intense gravitational force or even twisted gravity like wormholes or black holes, you get time disturbances. So it seems to go along with what you're talking about. From Connecticut, West Hartford. Bill, welcome to Coast AM.
Yes, hi, Rob. Hi, this is Bill in West Hartford, Connecticut. It's my first time talking to you personally. Hi.
Hi.
Thomas, let me say first, I'm a scientific-minded person. I'm an amateur astronomer, and I'm an atheist myself. So I just want to say first that the Bible is not a science book, so I wouldn't take literally what is written in the Bible as evidence for things, because I think there were things that are obviously written thousands of years ago. We can't question. We can't question the people who wrote the Bible and ask them and find out. But to get to now, to 2012, my two questions, A and B, and I'll ask them together. A, if the LHC in Geneva, Switzerland, the Large Hadron Collider, which is looking at the subatomic particle range, which has the ability to detect other dimensions, my question A is, if it should prove other dimensions other than the three dimensions of space and one of time, as well as B, if the European Space Agency Planck, that is looking at the leftover microwave radiation from the Big Bang in high definition that will come out with its all-sky data in less than a year, January of next year, and it should show that there are other universes that have bumped into our early universe during the first 300,000 years of its existence, because there could be imprints of other universes bumping into our universe. Would those two things, if they are proved, other dimensions by the Large Hadron Collider and other universes by that space probe, unmanned space probe Planck, how would that relate to what you're talking about?
Well, Bill, what I would say is this. This idea of multiverses, when you really start breaking it down and looking at it very critically, and I'm actually working on a book that will be published sometime this summer called The Multiverse Conspiracy, we find that it really breaks down. There's no coherence to it, and there's no testable predictions that it actually makes that makes any sense to the basic theory of multiple universes. So what I would answer that, and I'll put myself on a limb right now, my theory predicts that they will not find evidence for multiple universes. And we'll wait till that time and we'll see who's right.
All right. You heard it here. Mark the date and time. Let's go to Raleigh, North Carolina, the wild card line. Chris, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, thank you. My wife and I experienced something about six years ago, where the easiest way to explain what we saw is like the old TV, the horizontal line on our old TVs, that you could see things move. We had something go through our room at a 45-degree angle from the top right, bottom left. It was pale green, and it passed through our room. And my wife and I are both trained in psychologists, so, you know, we're educated, and we know not to, that our minds can trick tricks on us when we see things. And it passed about 8:45 in the evening. It could not have been car lights, and it did make the TV flicker, but it was pale green, just like a horizontal bar on a TV back when I was a kid, when it would make everything kind of move sideways. And the strange thing about it was my wife and I, who are gabbers, didn't talk for about 15 minutes. And then I look at the clock, just something weird, just to see if maybe, you know, we lost time or something. And no, we hadn't lost any time. I said to my wife, I said, did you see something? And she said, yes, yeah, something passed through. And then we went on, because we're psychologists and, you know, don't ask leading questions, we asked each other questions. We saw the same thing and described the same thing. And I've never found anything that has ever described what we experienced. And I was just wondering if maybe your guest today might have an idea.
Well, do you think what he was talking about seems like perhaps a viable possibility?
Well, absolutely. And one of the keys to what you're describing that connects it with this model of the paranormal is the idea that it affected the functioning of the TV.
Hmm.
This is normally associated not only with haunting sites, but also with close proximity of UFOs. And so this is being a result of the bending of space and the production of an electromagnetic field around it, that at certain frequencies and amplitudes, it will definitely interfere with electrical equipment. As far as the shape of it and the color of it, that's going to have to do with the materialization that, or the information that's materializing within it. So we're not familiar with all the information that would be available to the universe, but certainly the way it behaved is very consistent with this model.
You know, there's just so many different phenomena, Thomas, that comes to mind to ask you about. I mean, that UFO that shut down that missile silo. You know, here's one entity using perhaps the same technology to interfere with other electronics. My good friend Conrad down in Carlsbad told me about a friend of his that saw this luminous orb come off the beach and move right past them. I mean, we hear this over and over and over again. And what is it in your mind that is the strongest possibility for a well-known phenomenon that fits the model of your theory?
Well, gravity certainly would be one of them. It's difficult to pick one out that would be the most clearest example. I think gravity would be one. It answers all the mysteries surrounding gravity. Paranormal phenomena would certainly be another. And once we have this model that I talked about the way that a luminous orb is actually constructed physically, it makes perfect sense how these things would appear and exactly how they would behave.
Yeah. Well, let's get some more examples. Let's go back to the phones. They are blowing up from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Peter, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
How are you? You ready for this?
Go for it.
I am.
Why couldn't gravity be the God particle? Because it provides meaning, and it's holding everything in your room in place. And it could be said that it's literally the will of God that there be order.
Mm.
I understand what you're saying. And absolutely, if we see gravity as a function of the bending of space, and the bending of space is occurring from outside of space-time, as Theodore Calusa concluded, and if we further understand that the universe itself reflects a greater intelligence, then certainly we could take that philosophical concept and expand it into my theory and give it some scientific foundation.
Good question. Let's keep going here. Let's jump over to Tallahassee, Florida, east of the Rockies. Moses, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Yes, good morning. How you doing, Rod?
Good morning.
How you doing, Thomas?
Hi.
That analogy you made about the five loaves, and the two fishes, from my revelation, that was an analogy about the loaves being the word, bread or the word or the knowledge, and he was teaching the science of the zodiac sign Pisces. He had so much more information that the people could have taken it basket full again. Okay, this person in Genesis 14:18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, the one who was reported to have no mother, no father, no beginning, no ending.
You're talking about Melchizedek.
Right. But if you spell it, M-E-L is short for melanin, melanated, which means dark, black or very dark, and chi, C-H-I, chi, chi energy, force. Again, it's male chi and dark energy and consciousness associated with it.
Hmm. Some sort of an allegory to the dark matter in the universe. Well, we'll have to get your response to that, Moses, on the other side of the break. We're just coming up to it. We're talking with Thomas P. Fusco. His book is called Behind the Cosmic Veil. You're listening to Coast AM. Stay tuned. More to come and more phone calls. Yes, this is Coast to Coast AM, and we're talking to Thomas P. Fusco about his book called Behind the Cosmic Veil. And he's talking about how a lot of paranormal phenomena, even religious supernatural, can be explained by these bubbles in space-time opening up. And that really just is pure potential. And with certain control or organization behind it, it can explain away all the things that we've been scratching our heads about for years. And with the advancement of physics, it's actually starting to make sense. Now, of course, I have to ask him when we come back about the pyramids and these megalithic structures and if these bubbles, these little portals, can be used to build things too. And your questions as well. Now, when I do Coast, I know I just get hundreds of emails from people saying, hey, where can I hear this show and where can I hear that show? And just to let everyone know, in one fell swoop, you've got to become a Coast Insider. Just go there. If you sign up for a year, it's 15 cents a day, and you literally have access to all these shows. It's enormous. You can download them, listen to while you're driving, and you can just go through them all and pick and choose whatever ones you want. It is amazing. Now, that service is easy to get information about, as well as Tom Fusco's book and his website. It's all up at coasttocoastam.com. We're back. And Thomas, what about the idea that these sort of bubbles, these little portals that open up and create all this potential, can they be used to build things, all these great monuments that we've seen throughout the ages?
Well, I think that it can explain some of the things that some of the mysteries that we've observed with all this. What I want to do, though, Rob, real quick, if I could, is just take a moment to expand on something that one of the other callers talked about.
You mean about Melchizedek?
Well, no, not quite that, although yeah. I'd comment on that, too. I wanted to let the folks understand why atheism is so hinged on this idea of multiple universes, so that people understand the underlying philosophy behind this. As I've said, we've gone to a place in our sciences where we have increasingly found that we don't have the material, the physical material, to explain everything that we observe. And this is becoming, like you observed earlier, frighteningly close for them to coming up to a recognition of what we would call a spiritual realm. So they are desperate to prove this multiverse idea, because those other universes will provide material to explain all these supernatural things. So for an apparition, that's material coming from another universe, disembodied voice. Oh, that's somebody communicating with you from another universe. And by this, they hope to destroy anything that's spiritual or has to do with the concept of God by just making up new material to fill in the blanks, so to speak.
Mm. Well, getting back to the idea that gravity is really the integral part of this. Correct me if I'm wrong. The thing about gravity and why it's considered a very weak force considered to electromagnetism is that some of the potential of gravity slips off into a different dimension. Isn't that one of the sort of cornerstones to trying to understand why gravity is, in fact, one of the weakest forces?
Well, it's interesting that we talk about a weak force with gravity. And yet, at the same time, physics claims that gravity was the main force that had caused order in the early chaotic universe and started pulling all the different elements together to form galaxies and, star systems, that type of thing. So I'm not in total agreement with the idea that it is a quote-unquote weak force.
Can it slip into different dimensions, do you think? Do you think that it has an ability to cross over?
Well, I don't think so. Okay. I think that gravity is purely a physical effect which is caused by the bending of space. It's the bending of space which is resulting, in my model, from a source outside of the physical universe. So in a sense, you might say that gravity doesn't bleed out of our universe. It sort of kind of bleeds into it.
Hmm. And it seems to me if something is capable of bending time-space, this fabric, it's kind of like a piece of paper. You can bend and fold a piece of paper into just about anything.
Absolutely. If you take a rubber membrane and you try to compare it, let's say, to the fabric of space-time, and it was stretched out, and you'd put a baseball on it, and it would bend the space around it, sink into the rubber, so to speak, And, of course, if you moved it across the rubber with your hand, that would be normal movement. But if you went behind the rubber where we can't see and pulled on it in front of the baseball would magically roll forward all by itself with no visible means of propulsion. Mm-hmm. And so when we can manipulate the fabric of space, we can work basically all kinds of miracles that we could ever imagine.
Okay. Well, the phones are ringing off the hook. Let's go back. Let's go to Detroit, Michigan. Let's talk to Claudia. Claudia, welcome to Coast AM.
I'm not a physicist. I'm just a lowly social worker, so a lot of this has been over my head. But I was wondering about precognition. I have frequently had experience with precognition. I came home from work one day, and the house smelled very strongly of flowers. And are you there?
Yeah, we're listening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I was a newlywed, and I thought, wow, my husband got me flowers. I walked out, no flowers, overwhelming smell. And it dissipated, and that was Friday night. Sunday, my grandmother died suddenly of esophageal hemorrhage. And when I got to the funeral home on Tuesday, that it was the exact smell of the flowers, the overwhelming smell of the flowers in a funeral home. And I was just wondering how precognition fits into all of this.
That's a good question. I mean, what about, you know, the psychic component to this? How does that work, Thomas?
Well, thought is also a coherent collection of information. And so, for example, in telepathy, let's say, for example, we know that thought has a physical component. It has an electrochemical component that can be measured and observed. But it also has an informational component that we cannot see and measure. So in telepathy, when that thought travels outside of space-time and enters into brain B, for example, we don't have an electrochemical teleportation from A to B. It's just the information. But when that information trickles down into brain B, the electrochemical component of it immediately materializes in our mind according to the order of that information. Now, if we think about space and time and this information, kind of like a bicycle wheel, let's say our space-time is like the hub, or not the hub, the rim. And these spokes extend from the rim to a center point. And let's call that center point, that hub, a singularity, where space-time and information is collapsed in on itself. Well, the information, so to speak, that would materialize in that order, that the aroma of flowers, could come down on any one of those spokes at a different point in physical reality and materialize itself. So this is how we would have precognition, where information that would actually comprise the event in the future would come down into present, so to speak, because it's coming from the same source, but in a place where time has collapsed in on itself.
Okay, well, let's keep going. Let's go to Tennessee. Chris, first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, good evening. Rob, I think you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Yeah, and Thomas, you're a fantastic guest, and the information that you're covering is literally mind-blowing.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I've studied Buddhism, and I've also studied Christ's teachings extensively. I'm 38 years old, but I've also merged that somehow with science and physics and the sacred geometry and the Fibonacci sequence. I'm fascinated with the nature of reality. excuse me, also the nature of matter. We're made of, you know, millions and billions of swirling atoms. Everything around us is constantly in motion, and yet it appears to us that everything is solid, but we know it's not. And to me, you know, this is what I've always thought. This is how Christ was able to do his miracles, and you touched on that. And I just wanted you to expand on that. Maybe somehow, just like Christ or the Buddha or many others maybe that we don't even know about, have somehow been able to train their minds to literally control their reality and the matter around them in ways that we don't understand. And yet, as you mentioned, we are now learning about. And I just wanted you to expand upon that.
Good question.
Yeah, sure. Again, in fact, when you talk about this divine order, this this geometry, so to speak, this actually relates to the Bejeweled deck question.
Okay, good. I'm glad we came back to that.
Yeah, where there is a collection of how you would say building blocks of reality that have a particular shape and form in the superphysical. From the biblical point of view, for example, God spoke one of those collections of basic forms into the word light, and then light came into existence based on the shape of those forms that were spoken by him. As far as these particular individuals being able to do this, yes, they've had an ability to be able to tap in to this particular collection of information, as we all have on some level, and was able to manipulate it. Of course, myself being a Christian, my belief is that Jesus Christ actually had a direct pipeline to this. And so he was able to work these kinds of miracles because he was actually, part of him was always acting in that other realm. This is what he meant when he said, I do nothing of myself. I only see what my Father's doing, and I do the same. So in his mind's eye, he was actually manipulating the source of matter, and we ourselves standing around as observers only saw the effect, and so we saw a miracle.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things in the Bible, of course. Moses throwing down his staff and turning into a snake and the burning bush. I mean, so many different things. Are you of the mindset that some of these were observable examples of your theory at work?
Well, absolutely. All of these things, if one is to believe the reports in the Bible, all of these things were observable effects, and therefore they had to have some sort of a cause, and the causes were not locally, physically connected to the effect. And so everything in the universe is a result of materialized information. So consequently, these various different observations were a materialization of information coming from outside of space-time.
Okay, a lot of questions. People are calling in. They want to share their thoughts. Let's go west of the Rockies. Richard, Redding, California, welcome to Coast AM.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, what do I got going? I had Anthony Sanchez here the other day with, he wrote the book UFO Highways and Paranormal Pals, a lady with him interviewing me. And like you speak about gravity, I just went to make a cup of coffee. Now it's back on again, like gravity boots. I just have my shoes on. And something keeps in my home goofing with me, or, you know, and there's knocks on the wall, there's clicks. The TV, I can shut it off, it'll click, click. I have about seven witnesses. I'm warm all the time, super warm. It's raining here in Redding, and I will leave the door open all night and sleep without blankets, and I'm kept super warm. And I had a bunch of abscesses in the bottom of my feet overnight. Then they, you know, the doctor just gave me antibiotics. But I think something went in my feet, and I had something in my groin area too. And I think something was put in there. But anyway, I can't get this to stop.
So you think there's something going on there? How long has it been going on for, Richard?
Near going on 10 years. It's been getting stronger, stronger, stronger.
Wow.
Where now if I go shopping, I can't stay long. It's like, you know, I get an hour to shop, and all of a sudden they'll do my feet. They'll make it where I can't walk good. I'll be able to, I'll have to come home. As soon as I get home, it gets released. I don't know if it's like under mind control. I don't know if it's under extraterrestrial. I don't know if it's under some type of demonic or sometime, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Can't figure out which one it belongs to, but it's happening definitely every day, every night, and it's ruined my life. It's not fun. It's more or less hurtful, and sometimes it feels like they're removing fluids from me. I get little pinholes.
A lot. He's got a lot of phenomena. I mean, Thomas, what do you think? Any thoughts?
Well, absolutely. A lot of what you're talking about would be the result of the super physical bending of space. We still don't fully understand all the effects that that would have on a physical body. We see some of them at the sites of hauntings. But, for example, if one of these bubbles opened up very quickly in the presence of, let's say, building material, you would hear those knockings, those rappings. If you had these occurring in your body in a severe way, it would certainly cause damage to you. It sounds like you've got some situations going with a damaged fabric of space-time that's surrounding you or in your environment.
Well, what can people do if they have these things and they don't want them? Is there any way to push them off and shoo them away or get rid of them?
Well, it's a difficult thing to say. Psychics may have their own answers and what they try to do that with that. And like exorcists have another example. But what our problem is that we would have to study this case in great detail to find out what intelligence is actually causing this. Because of this poor individual, what he's going through, it might actually be his own intelligence that's doing this. And it's just he's naturally has this ability but isn't aware of it, doesn't know how to control it, and it's running amok on him. And I wish there was some way that we could help him with that.
Mm. You're working on a new book, Richard, Thomas?
Yes, I'm working on a book called The Multiverse Conspiracy and Other Plots by Modern Physics to Destroy All Things Spiritual.
Hmm.
And it's going to talk about all the different fallacies of the multiverse and why the model is inconsistent with itself and basically from the evidence that this is supposed to explain how it cannot be the solution to supernatural or paranormal phenomena.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. You've opened up sort of a whole window of discussion, and we're going to continue taking phone calls from people who are going to talk about their own experiences. Your book is called Behind the Cosmic Veil, and if people want it, they can go to www.cosmicveil.com, and I'm sure they'll be interested in taking a look. The first chapter is up there for people who want to read it, and Thomas, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks very much for having me. I really appreciate it, and it was a great time.
I absolutely appreciate it as well. As I say, we're going to continue this this dialogue, open lines for the rest of the show. And, you know, there is a order to some of these things. So you can start to see a pattern, a linking to phenomenon that before this kind of discussion was seemingly unrelated. So that's coming up next hour. You're listening to Coast AM. My name is Rob Simone, and we'll dive deeper down the rabbit hole when we come back.